Good morning, good afternoon, whenever you're listening to us. This is the Go Along Podcast. I'm Tyler Dunn here with Jim Monas. Remote, I'm down here in the greater South Boston, greater Colden, north of Springville region of Western New York. You're downtown Buffalo. You're a city slicker. How's it going up there?
I like it. Just started raining a little bit here, so.
Nice.
I hear it on the rooftop. So, yeah, no, it's always good being downtown. Been beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the action downtown. I like being around the action.
I hear you. I every time we drive downtown now, and Buffalo isn't even that big of a city for people listening outside of Buffalo. It's true. Just the little things, like finding a parking place and the random idiot driver just cutting you off or driving too slow. It just all these little things just kind of add up and just piss me off. I'm like, all right, send me to the country.
I think the scout in me, I spent so many times in cities, lived in Atlanta, lived in Philly, you know, lived in the, so I'm just always used to being around it. I like it, but
yeah.
What are we sipping on tonight?
Ooh, got a little grounded Imperial Stout unoaked at, of course, Hamburg Brewing Company. It's a 10.0. It's a 10.0. And as we've talked about on here, Jim, not a big stout guy myself. Not into the stouts. A little heavy. I had a little Guinness phase in college at Syracuse, but outgrew it. I got to say, the grounded series at Hamburg, it's pulling me back in.
That says something right there. I mean, if it can, it must be good.
They've got like coffee flavored, bourbon infused, all that good stuff. So,
well, the reason I'm at, I can't wait for Saturday.
Let's jump right into it then. And we've got a lot to talk about, including and what you're going to be bringing go along. But big relaunch. So psyched about everything we have going on at Go Along. If you subscribe, thank you. If you're thinking about subscribing, a good time to get on in for the season kickoff. Where to begin? I guess right there at Hamburg Brewing, right? Saturday for subscribers. We will be outside in the tent. First beer on Go Along. Hopefully some appetizers. We may or may not be trying to get Eric Wood to show up. Sorry, Eric, had to throw it out there. So,
Mr. TV, I saw him on the sideline at Louisville game. I was watching last night.
He's smooth.
He does his thing. He's always somewhere.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I totally forgot how he's not even physically here anymore, but he's going to be in town for the game, the next day. And yeah, he said he'd try to make it if he can. So could be an Eric Wood sighting, which would be a lot of fun, but just can't wait to meet everybody. There was a couple people out in Wisconsin, one person in San Diego that wanted to fly out for this, couldn't make it with their schedules, but people want to be there. It's the place to be Saturday. That's what all the kids are saying, Jim.
I can't wait to hear some questions. I mean, I have questions for people. I mean, that's what I love. I love that, like, hey, we don't have all the answers. We just like to talk football. And I love talking to other people and hear what their opinions are. They listen to us all the time. I like to hear if people disagree with us, agree. That's what makes it fun.
I love it. I mean, that's what it's all about. I had a reader, Don, out in Wisconsin email me this morning and just vehemently just disagreed with everything I've been writing on Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, just wasn't seeing it the same way, which I totally get. And I told him, like, look, I get it. If one more shot at a ring is worth it, that is an argument to be made. And once we kind of went back and forth, it was a great conversation. And that's the kind of stuff we want to have in person, right? We're tweeting with people. We're talking on this podcast, answering questions. We're living in this virtual world. And thank God, cross our fingers, knock on wood, we're busting out of that virtual world and we can hang out with people in person over a beer, over a beef on wick, have some fun. I mean, we had the draft extravaganza back in April, which was a riot. It was great to meet a lot of folks.
That was awesome.
Such a good time that I'm hoping the OGs come back, come on out. We don't really have any plans. Like, we're not staging, hacky sack races or conducting podcasts. We just want to drink beer and talk some football with everybody.
No, it's going to be, the energy for the Bills game is just going to be, it's going to be insane. I predict, and you correct me, is there ever going to be a bigger kind of atmosphere for a Bills home game? Now think about it. regular. Go ahead. That's why I'm asking. I don't know enough. Go ahead.
I think the Super Bowl expectations are real. And
they're real.
They were one game away last year, and they were cooped up for a year with freaking COVID, all that. So you're probably right.
No,
I will say, though, like 2015 with your team, or 16, yeah. 15.
Yeah,
that was Rex's first year, that Colts opener.
That Colts game was pretty hype.
Tyrod hits Percy Harvin. The defense is looking sharp. But into the Patriots game, the hype leading up to the Patriots game was palpable. And then Belichick just extinguished that.
Just awful. Right. I like that. You're right. That brings back. That was good. You're right. That was that atmosphere of that Colts game was. And you're right. You knew that we had to prove it against the Patriots that year. And wasn't time.
It just felt like the highs were so high and the lows were so low in a very short amount of time with Rex Ryan. You know, I mean, he could get you jacked up, whether you're a fan, a player, a coach. We had Eric Wood on the podcast. He's saying how like the most empowering coach he's ever been around, which that means something. I mean, you can go out there and have the performance of your life. Mm-hmm. And then God, some of those losses early in the year, you know, I mean, that one, the Cincinnati loss, the Jacksonville loss in London, the mood in the locker room just felt like the season was over, like done. Like these defensive players just trashing the scheme. Like you could just feel it. It was like a sixth sense. Like guys were just dejected. And it was like September and October. Like the season wasn't lost at all.
That London game, I you know, you hate to think about. I hate looking back on stuff sometimes. I do, but I don't even know how we were in that game the way it was going. You know, EJ was just, it was a mess. And it was our game to win.
Yeah.
I mean, that, I don't care what that call, I will never blame one call. That's not my style. I don't blame, but it was not, I don't think it was a good call.
It was brutal. I mean, it cost you guys the game. The defensive pass.
But you know what? It happens. And you know, one call never ruins your, but that, I guess what my thought of that was the flight back.
Yeah.
Was just like, what has happened? Like you wonder where we're going. Like, I remember being on the plane thinking, I don't even care if we go back to Buffalo right now. Just take us somewhere else. Like, could we end up somewhere? I don't even want to go back right now. Like, this is a nightmare. I mean, what is happening? We just lost to Jacksonville. Terry and Kim definitely weren't happy with EJ that day. And it wasn't a good loss.
It was. It's crazy that you guys were in the game. I mean, there were a few breaks, but like EJ just kind of came roaring back after the most disastrous start to a game a quarterback could ever ask for. It was a nutty game.
We sat up, I'm telling you, in London at the stadium. Doug and I were kind of out front and Terry and Kim were kind of back behind the glass. You know how there's always that little divide.
Yeah.
And we were just sitting there and their kids were all sitting with us, and halftime, Doug and I are just looking at each other. Like, Doug goes, "Well, I'm going to the principal's office," and basically went back to basically take the lashing of what are we doing with this quarterback? What are we doing? You know, it's not blaming EJ, but just, hey, what are we doing? He can't be the, you know,
and EJ, quarterback though.
Yeah, and that, we were trying to tell him like, hey, he's a good backup quarterback. We really thought he would be. I think EJ had we couldn't have handled a rookie quarterback or not. Yeah. You couldn't have handled him worse than we handled EJ, but his confidence and wanting to be a starter. And it just kept going backwards and backwards. There was never any buildup to get him to that point where he could even be a good number two. I mean, EJ Manuel should have been a good number two quarterback in the NFL.
You know, that preseason, I want to say he had that comeback win against Cleveland where he was all hyped. We talked about that. But then the Steelers preseason game at home. So he did enough to warrant being in that position to be the backup quarterback thrown into that game. And It was rough, but we don't have to talk about
I'm sorry. I guess I was just thinking, that was all right.
We always kind of end up going down that road on this.
It's good. It's good to go there, but let's get out of it. You know, we got the season started Thursday. I cannot wait for this game Thursday night.
It's like driving downtown Buffalo. It's good to get in there, but they want to get the hell out. Like,
let's get out of here. And try to forget it. Try to forget what happened. But yeah, we got Dallas.
Yeah.
Opening against Tampa. And let's talk, Tyler. I mean, you got some stuff going on with Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing these divisional previews, and we kind of got sidetracked catching up with different people on the podcast and whatnot. But let's talk a little NFC East, and let's start right there with the Dallas Cowboys. So I've been working on this story probably, 3+ months, I'd say, on and off, catching up with a lot of sources in and around the team, former personnel members who may be willing to speak a little more freely on how things are run in Jerry Jones's world. As you know, Jim Onis is here on our podcast saying whatever the hell he wants because he's out. There's a value to that, right, Jim?
But you're not going back. Let's talk.
Yeah, you're in deep now. You're in deep.
Good therapy. You have a whole job now as a psychiatrist.
This conversation that I had with one person in particular really got the ball rolling on that story. We talked for a couple hours. It was funny as I was talking to him, and obviously can't say who it is. He has to remain anonymous to speak freely, and that's a conversation for another day. I think there's immense value in that. If people want to know how the league is really run, there's a trust between reader, journalist, and sources that ask just to remain anonymous to speak freely. Like they want people to know how Jerry Jones operates, right? Mm-hmm. They want people to know what really happens with the Dallas Cowboys. They also don't want to sabotage their own lives and careers. You know what I mean? Like Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley in Green Bay, all they did was answer their phone and answer my questions. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're considered pariahs by a lot of fans for just being honest. So that's maybe why people like to speak anonymously from time to time to get some truth shot into the atmosphere. But yeah, this conversation I had, Jim, with a former personnel man there, I think me and Gina, we were going out to dinner that night, and I had to tell her, hey, this is really good stuff. Like we're going to have to just kind of wait a bit till we leave the house. So it kept going on and on and on. She understood, which was great. But he really broke down like, the pre-draft process in Dallas is, to me, it was like, holy shit, this is not normal. And he said, this is not normal. And I don't want to give too much away because we're making this series exclusive to subscribers. So hopefully people are interested in it and want to subscribe if they don't listen to this podcast. But really backwards philosophically on how they stack their board, Jerry Jones's role in it all. He's the owner, the president, the general manager, the key is getting to Jerry, right? Like he's running the show, but he's not really showing up every day. They've got the two helicopters, they're in and out. You want to get Jerry's ear. Like you want to pull him to the side and try to, you know, fight for your guy. It's very strange. Maybe not abnormal, judging by your facial reaction here.
No. I'm more trying to figure out how I can't figure out how he would be. I get he's making final say, but I can't imagine who's actually setting that. There's no way he's sitting there watching, you know. That's why in my mind I was thinking, all right, maybe Jerry's getting involved in that first round pick,
right?
Doesn't Steven
Will McClay Will McClay is the voice of reason. He's
the voice, okay,
in Dallas for sure. He's the de facto GM. I think he was really responsible for building up that offensive line, the driving force in 2014 when Jerry wanted Johnny Manziel, and they're like, what the hell are you thinking, Jerry? Like he's a train wreck. So there is, you know, some hope internally for sure. But I mean, at the top of the masthead, it's Jerry Jones. Like he can still do whatever he wants at any moment. So it's fascinating to kind of dive into that world. And it kind of goes without getting into the weeds too much. You know, it's a relationship based on friendships as much as anything. And I think that problems arise from that as well. So, Wednesday morning, we're going to have part one up and we'll have part two up later in the day. Thursday morning, part three up, and then they play Thursday night. So we're going to find out about a lot about these Mike McCarthy-led Cowboys early against the defending champions.
That's a good lead-in because to the NFC East, because it pains me a little bit to say that, because, you know, I know enough that that defense last year was so bad in Dallas, but I'm a Dan Quinn fan.
Yeah.
Always have been at the University of Florida when he's a D coordinator. We knew some mutual people and he was a great source for me there, and really cool to see his career. You know, he was a successful head coach. I mean, that Super Bowl was ridiculous in Atlanta, and it, you don't recover from something like that. I understand that, but he's going to get this defense better. I like their linebacking core right now. They brought in a safety that he had in Atlanta. And I like when coaches bring guys with them, especially at safeties, when it was very, you know, intelligent type needed guy to make some calls back there and get people lined up. And I just feel like there's some positive things going on that defense. The offense is loaded. Like, it seriously is loaded. If Dak is Dak, you know, if he's healthy and good, that team, that offense is loaded. So I think I'm hoping to see it just a good game. I'm obviously, we just want to see a good game, but NFC East wise, who's a more talented team? I mean, I think when you just go talent, Mike McCarthy, regardless of what we think of him, he has success. I mean, he knows how to get to championship games, get to Super Bowls. So I feel like they have, you know, qualified head coach, a hell of a defensive coordinator, the best quarterback in the division. That's a good recipe for success in my eyes, if the defense is at least good. And I think they can be good. You look at their players and they have talent. So I think Dallas can win this NFC East, but I know you might think differently.
I do, but you make some great points, and we get into a lot of what you were just breaking down as well. You know, in 2014, the Cowboys were, you know, maybe one Dez Bryant touchdown that should have been a touchdown away from getting to the NFC Championship game. They go into Seattle with that formula. They can win that NFC Championship game. DeMarco Murray was running for 1,800 yards that season. Tony Romo had the best year of his career. Dez Bryant is in his prime. Romo and Murray both had two MVP votes behind Rodgers and J.J. Watt. So they had a talented team. And I forgot, and I talked to Scott Linehan, the offensive coordinator.
I saw that.
So he was, he made a great point. Like, when he came in that 2014 season, like, he talked to Rod Marinelli, who is the new DC, about complementary football. You know, the year before, that defense was maybe even worse than the 2020 Cowboys defense. They gave up the seventh most yards in NFL history. I mean, they were just an embarrassment. And by running the ball more and just kind of not throwing it all over the place, they were able to find that balance. I don't know if that 2014 Cowboys defense was like lights out. They weren't, but they were good enough to win a title if it came to it. So you can kind of work together. You know, I get it. Kellen Moore, it seems like he wants to throw it all over the place. For those weapons, why wouldn't you want to throw it all over the place? But you got Ezekiel Elliott. You have still a pretty good offensive line when they're healthy. They weren't last year. You can talk yourself into kind of dialing it back to 2014 and winning the division, maybe winning more than that. I have a hard time getting past, you know, the people upstairs, though. I just feel like 25 years, there's a lot of themes that have developed with Jerry Jones. And I feel like Mike McCarthy winning those divisions, winning a Super Bowl, had a lot more to do with his quarterback than maybe anything he was necessarily devising on the chalkboard. I mean, by the end of it, like, and look, he's, to his credit, like, credit, you know, I use that loosely, he's not calling plays. He came in and he wanted Kellen Moore to stay as the offensive coordinator. He wanted to keep things going on offense. I always come back to Seinfeld on this podcast, right? I just keep thinking of, you know, Cosmo Kramer. Like,
Cosmo.
You know, what do you do around here? Remember when he decided he was just hanging out at that job? And
I don't even really work here.
I don't even. That's what makes it so difficult. I don't know what, I don't know what Mike McCarthy really does. I don't know. I feel like his teams are typically soft by January, and that's what we're going to see out of Dallas.
Okay, and that's fair enough. I guess what my point on McCarthy was, hey, he's been the leader of some successful, you know, some really good teams, Super Bowl, you know, so I'm just trying to paint a picture where he does have talent. If Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn, who I like, I'm trying to paint a picture for Dallas, just to at least make this a run. But man, that Tampa offense is loaded. So we'll see. We're going to find out how good this Dallas defense, at least, you know, see where they're at. It's also week one. And we have to remember what, you know, it's not that, you know, we're going to have rushed to judgment after week one anyway, but it, this part I am looking forward to seeing. Is Tampa going to be, how important is this game to Tampa? You know, for Brady, every game's important. That's how he approaches every game, and the players buy into that, you know? So that's why I think Tampa, I mean, they're going to be hard to stop, but I think Dallas can score on them. I think Dallas can put some points up on anybody, really, not just Tampa. I think Dallas can put some points up.
Zach Martin's health is a biggie.
You know, yeah, they're still saying the nitty-gritty. Play now. Right. It changes every day. I'm over it. I'm just over the.
Don't you want another month or so of, you know, maybe some hype and some.
No, but I'm over the. I hate to say it, but I'm just over the. Some guys get COVID, but they can't play. But they can't play. Yeah, I just, you never know who.
Yeah.
He tested, but if he's 2 days negative, then maybe he can play. But it's just, the rules just seem, it must be maddening.
I mean,
being a part of that right now.
I mean, it's the league is flying on the sheet of his pants. Like it's they're making it up as they go along. Everybody is. That's what pretty much everybody in power has kind of made up this COVID shit as they've gone along. It's not a political statement. It's just truth. Nobody knows anything. But everybody's inventing rules like they do know everything, the NFL included here.
So, no, but this is why football is hilarious to me. Football doesn't really – football is such its own – it's almost like its own planet where the rest of our country right now is kind of like, okay, it's coming back. You hear all the reports. It's surging again. It's surging. College football, every stadiums are sold out. NFL is going to be sold out. Like nobody's caring. Yeah,
make sure you put a mask around your three-year-old kid going to preschool. Oh, but hey, let's watch Alabama on TV tonight. Look, there's a stadium full of fans. Like, there's no consistency anywhere. Like,
no, and that's
what drives everybody nuts.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at with it too. I just whatever. But anyway, it's going to be fun. I'm just looking forward to seeing the game. And that Dallas is to me the most talented team in the NFC East.
I'm not going to argue with you on offense, just especially
talent. And I do like, I don't want to throw away their defense. I like some of the things they've done. They have two edge guys that, you know, can pressure. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that the linebacking core, they're
Keanu Neal, you know, the safety bringing mm-hmm. him in and moving him to linebacker, I believe. Mm-hmm. Boy, he was one of the hardest hitting DBs in the, I mean, he's been hurt a ton.
But he stays healthy. Dan Quinn brings toughness. I can promise you that. Like, he will bring toughness. They will play. You know, that's one thing I respect about him. So, to maybe it'll offset the softness that McCarthy brings.
Yeah. They'll need it. Did you watch Hard Knocks?
I try not to. No.
It's pretty sanitized. You know, if you're running out of NyQuil, just watch a little Hard Knocks at night. It'll knock you right out. I don't know. It's so, I mean, it's what an opportunity for a show to really bring fans like into the headquarters of a team. I mean, the cameras are everywhere, all over the place, but correct me if I'm wrong. The team has final say on editorial control. Like, they see everything that is put out there. So that's why the last few years have been so just milquetoast and almost unwatchable at times. I mean, they'll have montages of players just swishing water in their mouth and spitting it out during practice for 15 minutes of the hour, and you're not learning much.
No,
forget where I was going with that. Oh yeah, so McCarthy on Hard Knocks. I don't think it really did him any favors. Like, I feel, you know, he came out afterwards and said, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. He said something like, "I could be more genuine now that the cameras aren't around." So you're admitting that everything we saw was like an act and fake. But for what it's worth, a Packer player that was watching it in real time texted me and said, "Yeah, this is what we saw all the time in Green Bay."
Well, I mean, you know what's good? Winning cures everything. That old statement, and it's true. And maybe, you know, he's had so much success, and like you said, was it him? Was obviously we all know it's the quarterback has a big deal to do with that. So I don't know. I'm just thinking, like I said, I'm a Dan Quinn guy, so I'm looking forward to seeing how he changes up that defense.
No doubt. No doubt. I'm with you there. So we'll see. You know, the team that I'm going to go with in the NFC East, mm-hmm. and hey, we're going to have predictions that go along with Bob McGinn's idea. So check it out.
This is the best.
So definitely. We'll check that out later this week.
Washington. You know, it's funny. I remember all the years of working in the NFL and always – shaking my head saying, how in the hell do these guys do predictions? Like, it just seems impossible. Now we're going to do it. I can't wait to see how, I want to see how bad I am.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's you fake it until you make it. I mean, we've said this often on here, but if those who can do teach, those who can't teach, teach Jim, and those who can't teach Jim work here in sports media and make stuff up. So,
all right. So who's your team? Who you got? You got Washington, right?
Yeah. I like Washington. I think they're built the right way. That's what it comes down to. I don't think the Cowboys are really built the right way. Like, their defense is pretty bad. Their coach is leaving a lot to be desired. Washington has a really good coach in Ron Rivera, who has full control. There's no questioning who's in charge with Washington. Like, it's Ron Rivera. He brings in, I want to say, Marty Herney, right?
Oh, no. Did he bring in Marty?
Look it up here.
Anyway, let me challenge you a little bit with Washington as we go through this.
Okay, I'm looking that. Go ahead. Then the defensive line. I think their defensive line is loaded.
Okay,
their defense. I mean, they've got the best defensive line in football. We just saw what Tampa Bay did with their D line against the best quarterback maybe ever. You know, had him running for his life. The question is, where are the points coming from? And I think they addressed it. I know Fitz is Fitz. I get it, but what's around him? I'm talking myself into this. Like, we had the story on Antonio Gibson. You can check it out up at Goal Line. He's
there. I don't think you're wrong on talking about their weapons. We got Logan Thomas. Mm-hmm. I love McLaren.
Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin.
Curtis Samuel. I love those. Those guys are weapons.
Jared Patterson, UB's finest. The Bills apparently didn't want to draft. He said, Sean, come get me. They didn't listen.
That's me. I mean, I know. But I do like their weapons. I do question. Their left tackle is going to be Leno, who they brought in from the Bears. He's not very good. I always worry about a team that has, to me, an average quarterback, and how good are they up front on the offensive line. They'll be okay, I think, up front. But I need to see it. I need to see how Leno plays and see. I think they have a young guy playing the other tackle position as well. So he's kind of unproven. I don't know much about him. So we got to watch and see. But that's right off the bat, I'm worried about both tackles. I don't, you know, that would concern me. And I think, you know, Fitz is okay. I'm with you on that D-line. Everybody is. That is a loaded D-line. Yeah. Their corners, solid. Safeties, you know, are okay. They're kind of the popular pick right now. They're kind of that team that everybody's kind of, you know, everybody's excited. But I need to see a little more. I do need to see a little more. But yes, they're certainly going to be competitive. When you have a defense like that, you're going to be in every game.
What do you think about Gibson? I didn't really talk to you.
I like his
game. I mean, they're going to try to use him as that Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
There isn't a D1 collegiate wide receiver that has converted to starting running back on a reigning division champ. I mean, I love how he thinks the game. I mean, he talked all about it. He's not robotic. He's not down to the step. He's juking. He's spinning. He's being creative. He's got the perfect size, the perfect upbringing to this moment.
He doesn't remind me of a receiver. That's why that story was cool. Like, about him. He plays the game like he's played running back. He looks natural, and he is tough. I mean, I like him. I thought that was a cool that you brought that out, nice. That story on him, because when I was watching all that tape last year on these guys, and Haskins was by far the worst quarterback I think I've ever watched. And, but I kept looking at their weapons. I'm like, they have guys. So, and he was one of them. Every time he seems like, man, this isn't a fluke. He's a good player. But, you know, like I'm saying, we're going against, to me, it's like, it's Dak in that division, and then it's just a huge drop in quarterback play after Dak's a top. I mean, he's a legit top 5-6 quarterback in my opinion. I love Dak. But anyway, we'll see. I'm with you. Like we said, that defense, if Fitz does his stuff, if he just doesn't turn it over, like we know, Fitz will miss open players too. Let's not just say, it's not always about just turnovers. I mean, he will miss. He's not like great accuracy all the time either. Yeah. I mean, he can spray it, but he's so tough. And he's, and the players play hard, you know, they buy into him, and you can't ask for more than that. So we'll see. I like it. I mean, this division is funny because that, like I said, I think Dallas is much more talented than these other teams, but who do we think is next? Cause I think I know who you like. I know you like, man, the man up in the Meadowlands, Mr. Judge,
Mr. Dimes with Mr. Judge. Ugh. It's a winning combination. Well, I obviously blew a lot of smoke up Mr. Dimes' ass back in.
This will be a make or break
June, year for him. July.
He needs to show up this year.
On paper, I love what they did. Like, and we've made fun of Gettleman, and you know,
I'm not a Gettleman. I don't like Gettleman.
Right, he's kind of been a buffoon at times. It seems he's easy to mock. You know what I mean? I get all that, but I love what he and Joe Judge have done. Like. Kenny Golladay, I know injuries. It's a whole other story there with the hammy and that. If he's healthy, legit, bona fide, X, out wide, number one, you've got that settled. Sterling Shepard in the slot could be one of the best slot receivers in the game. He's not going to have to be a number one. He can go to work there. Darius Slayton, legit number three. Kadarius Toney, we'll see what he has. Kind of a weird mini camp for him. But
yeah, but I do like Toney.
Right. And Saquon Barkley. I mean,
he's a home run hitter. He's a home run hitter.
And he's another receiver out there. I will say this. I'm getting to it. Don't worry. I'm with everybody on this offensive line. It has me really worried. Like that Andrew Thomas pick right now. Woo.
But doesn't the quarterback worry you?
I kind of like Daniel Jones. Him. I like him.
I need to see. He was so... He didn't have a good year. I mean, I try to see it, you know, because you try to just see what he makes a lot of poor decisions, a lot of poor throws. To me, he and Gettleman are going to be tied together this year. If Jones is the issue, if he's not up to the standard, I think he and Gettleman can. I think they'll have new tent. Joe Judge is going nowhere. He'll take total control of that team. But yeah, I think it's a big year for Jones and Gettleman. I think the defense should be okay. I don't think it's special. I like the Bradbury, though. I mean, I like Bradbury corner, but
the secondary. Logan Ryan, James Bradbury.
They have some good players, and they played hard for Joe Judge. Jabril
Peppers.
To your point, they did play hard for Joe Judge last year. They fought, and that's a sign of – that's a good sign. They bought into it. So they're going to be competitive for sure, I think.
And Leonard Williams, they had to pay up a lot to keep him. But next to Aaron Donald, I don't know if there's a better D tackle.
He's talented, no doubt.
Blake Martinez will clean up good a lot player. Of middle linebackers.
Always good. Always
I mean, you can talk player. Yourself into that defense. I like their defense a hell of a lot more than Dallas' defense.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't think they're as good as Washington. And Daniel Jones, I hate to get into the excuse making, but the injuries last season.
It's fair.
Played through some stuff he should not have been playing through. The lack of weaponry around him was just piss poor. He did not have much at all. He's going to have a lot more this year. If Saquon Barkley can stay healthy, that changes everything offensively.
Yeah. And it's year three for him. And just like it was for Josh Allen, we saw that jump, and not saying that he'll do that, but yes, guys can make a jump. So I think your points are good.
We should be careful with the Josh Allen thing, but I find myself being more willing to think that Daniel Jones can take that step. You know, I'm not there with Tua. I'm not there with Tua Tagovailoa, but I am there with Daniel Jones. I can see him taking a huge step in 2021, and maybe I'm dead wrong, but because the offensive line does scare, but it's not like the Bills offensive line is like this brick wall. It's good, but it's not dominant. I mean, if the Giants can just kind of get by, I think he still has a shot.
So we're both feeling like the last place team will be Philly.
I think so, Jim. I think so. Your old stomping grounds.
That place seems a little shaky right now. I know that coach. I know he's a Western New Yorker, but
should we do some rock, paper, scissors?
Don't do it. But Hurts. I just feel like Hurts is, he's so competitive and he's so tough and he's such a good athlete. and you're going to get his best effort, but is he good enough to beat some of these defenses? And I personally haven't seen it yet. But I do know that guy is going to work and give you everything he's got. And so you don't want to count him out. I don't like their team.
Yeah.
I don't like their receiving core. I don't like their running backs. Their defense isn't anything to me that looks anything special. I don't like the talent.
I'm there with you. I mean, you're taking so many swings at wide receiver in the draft, and you're missing. And maybe DeVonta Smith.
I like him.
He was dominant in college. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. I know he's a little guy, but like you're using so much capital on that position. You missed out on DK Metcalf. You missed out on Justin Jefferson. And then you're going to take another receiver. It's hard to follow Howie Roseman and what he does running the show in several different spots. But defensively, not a lot going on. I had a great conversation today, though, with Rodney McLeod. He's been there for a while. 10th year in the NFL, and he's been in Philly since 2016. So we talked for about an hour, and we'll have something up at Go Long soon. But I just love his perspective. You know, he's somebody who's been through it all. He was there.
He's good.
Right? Smart guy. He's a captain on the team now.
Yeah.
But went through the Super Bowl win. Went through the demise of everything, saw most everybody around him leave. And, you know, once the dust kind of settled, he was still there. And what's he going to say? I get it. But he's pretty optimistic about their chances this season. He thinks they've got a legit shot to make a run. We'll see. But I have a hard time talking myself into the Eagles like I do. I can talk myself into the Giants winning the division and definitely Washington. I can't get there with Philly, probably because of Jalen Hurts. I don't know. He looked really good out of the chute last year. I think because things were so bad in Philly and they couldn't really move the ball at all. And Carson Wentz mentally just was – something was off. And when Jalen Hurts came in and ran around and made some plays against Green Bay too, mm-hmm. I mean, he brought some excitement. I just don't know if he's a sustainable starting quarterback season to season. Not sure.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that's where it's the consistency that separates these franchise guys to the, you know, the, like a Hurts where, yeah, he's good enough to win 8 games with maybe, but can he consistently beat these teams just with pure passing ability? Because that's what this league is. And you know, at some point, and can he stay healthy? Because, I mean, his style is, you know, he's tough. I mean, he's going to run people. He doesn't avoid people. Like, he's going to run you over if he can. We'll see. I'm just not big on their whole roster. It's not just Hurts to me. I that whole team just doesn't.
I think there's a lot of players on their team you can get excited about. Like, Miles Sanders. Like, you can get jacked about Miles Sanders. When he's healthy and he's out there and he can take it the distance any given play, but player. Then he gets nicked up, then he's out.
Yeah. Is he a difference maker? Yeah. Are those guys difference makers, or are they just, you know, they're good players to me. I just don't see I always try to judge players on the other side of the ball. Are the other teams scared of Miles Sanders? Who are they game planning for? You know, who are they trying to stop? And, you know, to me, Sanders, you take his jersey off and put somebody else. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They're not game planning to stop Sanders. That's how I look at it. And I just don't see those types of guys.
Case in point, I mean, there was a game late last season. Maybe it was the season before when Boston Scott came in and like won them the game in overtime. Like,
he's that good. Like, you love having a guy in the rotation like him, you know, because he has that some game breaker to him. But no, hey, definitely.
Before we close up though, Jim, like, give us a story from the Philly days. We talked so much about Buffalo, so much about New Orleans. I know you were a young scout. Maybe there was still hair on your head. Maybe not.
I know. And I was fighting the hair is the best way I could say it.
I know that world well.
I saw it going. It was going the wrong way. I was holding on, but you know, and that's going to be part of my column. I was going to pick out each week if we, you know, maybe my hairline of the week could be a coach, could be a player, if I or on TV, the studio, Ray Lewis, you know, when he's painting on the Xing and getting it everything colored in. We're gonna have a little hairline column, you know, a little sentence for hairlines. But
I love it.
I'll tell you a good for me in Philly that was just incredible when I first started was John Harbaugh was a special team. Like this is what people, you know, you forget the staff that Andy Reid had with John Harbaugh. Ron Rivera was the linebackers coach. Spagnuolo was in the secondary. McDermott was an assistant. Brad Childress, who was the head coach. Juan Castillo has been bouncing around as an O-line guy. I'm forgetting some other big names right now. Pat Shurmur was an assistant. Like these guys all went on to be head coaches, but I couldn't get over Andy Reid's ability to see everything in the whole organization. As far as he knew everything that had to be, he knew what the PR department had to be like. He knew what the training staff had to be like. He knew what the equipment room needed to be like. And that was my, that blew me away. Cause I'm thinking this guy, you know, he's just, I was like, how does he have time to actually, like, he really had a lot of thought and input. He took the head trainer, Rick Burkholder, that was in Philly with us. He's in KC. I see him on the sideline with, that's Andy's right-hand man. There's certain guys that you have to trust and bring with you because those rooms are important. The training room, the locker room, the PR, and I just couldn't get over his attention to detail on everything. And he never sold the players out. And I just loved watching him as a leader and seeing him bring on Donovan McNabb, who, you know, just, he developed McNabb. And I, you know, I really think there's something to, and, but if McNabb went, you know, he brings in AJ Feely, you know, we had success with AJ Feely. Like who else has success with AJ Feely? Andy Reid does. And I just love, my point on that was how everybody he hired was a special coach. Like they went on to be head coaches, whether or not they succeeded or not. I mean, Harbaugh, look at Harbaugh right now. I mean, he was a special teams coordinator.
Yeah.
And I didn't even, back then I was too young to understand that special teams coordinators can go and be head coaches. Of course they can. It opened my eyes because they know all the rules of the game, situational football, the things that win or lose in the last 5 minutes of a game. Our special teams coaches are really good at that. Joe Judge. So I guess I was more blown away. My perception of Andy Reid was he was just an offensive guy. Wasn't the case. You know, obviously he had Jim Johnson, who was a legendary defensive coordinator at the time. But Andy Reid also was paying a lot of attention to the defense too. So I guess I was just admired how he put together a staff.
Well said.
And then if you want a funny Andy Reid story.
Yeah.
For me, I was a scouting assistant. So, you know, for the draft, we're in there late nights and we're doing, you know, the grunt work and all the stuff you love as a, you don't care. I mean, you're 23, 24 years old. And I could have stayed in there all night, but it was like 8 o'clock at night. He came in. It was like me and another guy, Rashawn Curry, we were sitting in there and he said, "Hey, Jimmy," threw his credit card at me, large pepperoni. And then whatever you and Rashawn want. So he wanted that large pepperoni for himself, but he's like, and then whatever you guys want, you get too. But he wanted that large pepperoni. I was like, all right.
Coach. A large pizza just for Andy.
Him. For him.
Did he and polish like, it off in one sitting?
Best part, I promise you, I don't know if he took down the whole pizza, but he always had Diet Coke whatever he was eating. It was always Diet Coke. In fact, Sean McDermott, when I first started as an intern, I've never seen anybody carry more cases of Diet Coke around because he was Andy Reid's assistant before he kind of went into coaching. Every time I saw Sean, he had a case of Diet Coke going to Andy's office, just loading his fridge up. With Diet Coke, so
jump-started his whole career, bringing Andy Reid his Diet Coke.
But you know what's funny, and I talked about this before, but Sean did the same thing in Buffalo when he got the job, with paying attention to the whole building and cleaning it up. And I guarantee you, that's what he took from Andy. So,
man, you know what's crazy is like the Eagles when they moved on from Andy Reid. I think on the outside looking in, we all looked at him as this offensive guy, always loses in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, the time ran out on Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Chip Kelly comes in and he was billed as everything you're describing. Like, here is somebody who has his finger on the pulse of everything in an organization, the GPS trackers and the right down to everything.
Right.
Every single player is putting in their bodies every single day. Like,
you know, we got to get shady on here, but like LeSean McCoy obviously hated it all. DeSean Jackson hated it all. Like, it rubbed out a lot of the players the wrong way. A lot of guys hated it. And, you know, he comes out first game against Washington. Remember with Michael Vick, we all remember where we were watching the game. It's like, oh, crap, this is the future of football.
Yeah.
And poof, it was gone before it even arrived. And, you know, he moves on to San Francisco, does nothing there. He's at UCLA. He'll probably be fired soon there.
He man, watch out on UCLA. He may be built for college because really? Only reason I'm saying that is I felt like where Chip Kelly, to your point, I thought his kind of being creative and outside the box, and that was the way to go, I thought. He just made some of the strangest personnel decisions, you know, and got rid of some great players. And it's not, you know, I just felt like, I can't remember what he had in San Fran, but Philly, it just was strange what he was doing personnel-wise.
Man, I'm glad you called me out, Jim. I had no idea. I mean, I'm not in touch with UCLA football. Just took down LSU, and they're ranked. UCLA is. So
yeah, he's like, sometimes you're built for certain. You know, college can work for you if you have that system and can recruit. He knows how to recruit.
All right. Well, hey, before we wrap it up, though, Jim, we buried the lead. The Monas report.
Hey,
coming to go along.
You were great.
I'm so jacked to bring you in the written word to our newsletter, our website. If you didn't catch Jim's introductory post, it's awesome. Check it out, golongtd.com. But everybody listen to this podcast. They dig your stories. They love hearing all this crazy stuff from Buffalo, Philly, New Orleans. But tell everybody here what they can expect when the Monas report drops.
We're going to keep giving stories. We're going to keep giving, you know, as much one line stuff that I can, that just is confusing to me or funny. Got to get into the quarterback rankings, which we all love, but then we also have to touch on other things. I always have to touch on restaurants. You know, I said a little reality TV, whatever, you know, tonight's big night for me. The Chop season finale on, we're doing this grill episode, this fire episode that I just have been loving. So, I mean, stuff like that. It's my getaway from football, but I just want to have fun with it. It's not going to be anything like what you and Bob do. Cause it's, hey, I'm amateur style. I feel like I'm like you guys are like LeBron and Anthony Davis. And you guys are kind of picking some good role players to come in. Maybe, you know, hey, he can spot up here. He can do this. So I'm kind of that, you know, I'm kind of that guy that, hey, you know, we can play with him. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm just thrilled to have you, all the pleasures here, but I picture you as a Robert Horry type, you know,
that's what I'm saying. Just, I can fit
coming
in
knocking down that three, winning championships.
I feel good about that. Yeah. I won't let you guys down. Just don't ask too much of me, though, because if you ask too much of Robert Horry, if you're looking for – yeah, that's – just don't ask too much.
Hey, there's a reason that he's winning all the championships and hitting all the big shots. And I the best comparison I ever heard, maybe in anything, best analogy, whatever you want to call it, Robert Horry and Nate Dogg, the rapper, R.I.P.
Oh, I like that.
Right? Every track that Nate Dogg's on is an absolute banger. And Robert Horry, all he does is hit game-winning shots and win championships.
Pretty strong. Right? That's a good one. I haven't heard that one.
Yeah. Well, anything else we got to hit on before we sign out? No, sorry, we couldn't do this in person. We got to get back to Hamburg. Well, we'll be there Saturday.
I can't wait for Saturday. It's going to be awesome.
Great. Well, definitely come on out, everybody. If you subscribe, get a beer, eat some food, introduce yourselves. It's going to be a good time. Jim, good to see you, man. We'll catch you Saturday.